So, Om Ganat Simadanda Shah Gananjana
Shalakaya Chakshura Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
So, today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Srila Jayananda Prabhu. And according to the instructions of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, we're supposed to observe this day in our ISKCON temples. And Jayananda Prabhu was the, practically speaking, the first saint in the Krishna consciousness movement. And we're going to be speaking a little bit about his life and pastimes. Of course, he was a very intelligent person. He wasn't just like a hippie or a street person when he joined the Krishna consciousness movement. Many years ago, of course, the majority of people who joined the Krishna consciousness movement were basically hippies. Prabhupada was asked one time, you know, what is a hippie? And Prabhupada answered, you know, something wonderful. And, of course, the hippies, they were generally not so enthusiastic about taking baths on a regular basis. And if you want to really see what a hippie is like, you watch this movie, Woodstock. And one of our devotees here was in Woodstock. I wasn't at Woodstock. Anyway, so and they were very much into music and everything, but Jayananda Prabhu was a very educated person. In fact, he had a degree in mechanical engineering from Ohio State University. But in spite of having a degree in mechanical engineering from Ohio State University, he wasn't working as an engineer. He was actually working as a cab driver. Actually, oftentimes you'll find the cab drivers are quite intelligent. Actually, I was working as, not to say I'm quite intelligent, but I was working as a cab driver before I joined the Krishna Conscious Movement. In fact, that's where I first came in contact with Prabhupada's books. And we regularly have philosophical discussions with the other cab drivers. So it's not that being a cab driver is necessarily a bad thing. Actually, in our New Orleans temple, we have at least 40 cab drivers who all came from Bengal. And sometimes the neighbors think that we're running a cab stand in New Orleans. But Jayananda was driving a cab because basically he didn't have any attraction for things in this material world. Even though he had an advanced degree, he really wasn't attracted to anything material. He just was just going on. And it's described sometimes that, not that he was clinically depressed, but he just like, he had no impetus to do anything. And in contrast to many of the people in those days, he had very short hair. He was clean-cut looks. In other words, sometimes you see pictures of him attending the first temple in San Francisco, and he had a tie. And everyone else had tie-dye. I don't know if you know what that is. Tie-dye means when you would put your clothes into the washing machine and you tie knots in your clothes and then you put some dye and you'd after the wash you'd unravel the clothes and tie another knot and put another dye lot into the washing machine and then you'd end up with all these different like splotches on your clothes. This is what tie dyeing is. I used to do that with all my clothes. I would tie dye them. So, but he had a tie instead of a tie-dye, and he had well-pressed clothes, amazing. And he was 28 years old, and he was far older than most of the other devotees. And he was just looking for the truth. He heard some sort of advertisement, there was a Swami giving a lecture, and he went. And the first time he saw Srila Prabhupada and heard Srila Prabhupada give a lecture, he just became inspired and found a purpose in his life. Of course, that's an indication of someone who in their previous life was Krishna conscious. Sometimes we see that people become very advanced very quickly, and that's an indication that some previous devotional service was there, and there was some impediment in their previous devotional service, and now they're continuing from that point. As Krishna says in the Gita, that in this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution. In other words, if you're 5% Krishna conscious, you take off or take up from that point in the next life. So Jayananda was showing that he was already a great devotee because immediately he began to exhibit Vaishnava qualities. And one of the first things he did is he bought a set of Bhagavatams, the three volumes, from Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada wrote in his copy, this is to Sriman Jim Kaur. That was his name before he was initiated. And for the first time in many years, he actually felt peaceful and satisfied. And he started to come into the temple regularly, practically on a daily basis. And in contrast to the other devotees there, he attended the whole morning program. Because most of the devotees, previously they were, as I said, they were hippies, and they were accustomed to rising very, very late in the morning. I remember Vidyananda Maharaj was telling the story about the Berkeley temple, how he would get up early in the morning, and the other devotees, they would get up just to start a fire to keep the temple warm, and then they go back to sleep. That was in the Berkeley temple. Because Berkeley is sometimes called Berserkly. And there's, of course, a Hayden Ashbury Street. So anyway, so actually even from his very youth, he was exhibiting saintly qualities. When he was 4 years old, there's this description that he had stood up in church and looked around seriously. And he asked, when his grandmother asked him, what's the matter? He says, where is God? You know, in other words, he didn't see God there. And he was looking for God. So he felt that Srila Prabhupada was answering his quest for God and for the absolute truth. And so it was a new bhakta. Of course, he never really appeared as a new bhakta. Practically speaking, as soon as he took up Krishna consciousness, he appeared as an old bhakta. Someone who already knew Krishna consciousness. And he took to Krishna consciousness naturally and effortlessly. In other words, it wasn't a strain getting him up in the morning or anything like that. He got up every morning at 4 o'clock, chanting on his beads, engaging in deity worship. Of course, in the beginning days of the movement, practically speaking, the newer devotees were engaged in deity worship immediately. I was the head pujari after 1 week in the movement. Of course, in those days, we didn't have deities on the altar. We had, of course, a deity, but it was a picture of the Panchataka. It was very blissful. It was in Gainesville, Florida, a picture of the dancing Panchataka. And I remember this the picture of this day was painted by a devotee named Gayatri, who was the wife of Amarendra Prabhu, or was the wife of Amarendra Prabhu. So Jayananda worked very hard in addition to being very regulated at the morning program. He worked very hard to maintain and support the temple financially. He drove a taxi. Actually, Tamal Krishna Maharaj described how he worked a job too at the same time. Tamal Krishna Maharaj worked in the Eastman Kodak company. He was, at that time they used film. I don't know if any of you remember what film is, but anyway, it was film instead of like a digital picture. And so he would be in charge of opening up the little canisters, you know, cracking open the canisters. I guess it was in the dark. And then feeding them into some sort of machine so they would get developed. So at that time, the devotees, in order to maintain the temple, worked regular jobs, what nowadays is called karmi jobs. Actually, Prabhupada said, one who works even in the factory and gives the results to Krishna is as good as a sannyasi. So it's not, we don't call it a karmi job, we call it devotional service. It's called karma, karma yoga. And karma yoga is part of bhakti yoga. So he was paying the bills. In addition to paying the bills, he was doing so much service in the kitchen and in the temple. He was buying supplies, cooking prasadam, cleaning the kitchen, taking out the trash, teaching new devotees. And he did this after a full day of cab driving. Pretty good. And then, in the evening, he went out to sell Srila Prabhupada's teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and he was one of the first devotees to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Amazing. It's described that he never slept more than, let's say, 3 hours a night, and sometimes not even that. I remember working with Jayananda right before we were having a Lord Chaitanya Festival in San Diego, and this was in 1973 or something like that.
I think it was 1974 because I was there, actually.
Oh, you were there?
That
was at Balboa Park. You were there at the festival?
Yes, I did.
Wow. I remember there was one young girl there. There was a Maya baby there that I avoided. Anyway, so so 1974. I think I was in charge of the temple or something like that at that time, because the temple president got on to sell jewelry. Actually, at that time, the temples were really struggling to make ends meet. I remember the first temple I was in, we didn't know who was going to pay the rent. And then we were on Sankirtan, and some stranger approached us and gave us like several hundred dollars for the rent, and he went away. We never knew who that was. It was definitely Krishna. You definitely could see that Krishna was taking care of the devotees in the early days of the movement. It's before he became very opulent. I mean, we in the early days of the movement, we didn't have hot water in the temples. I remember being in New York and taking a shower in Manhattan in the temple. There was no hot water. It was like pins sticking in your back when you were taking a shower. So things were quite austere in those days. We were struggling for a few pennies. So Jayananda also started chanting on the street, you know, the Hari Nam. He spontaneously started that. He started so many different aspects of the Krishna consciousness movement. And in addition, he was fixing all the vehicles in the temple and, you know, repairing the temple. He was practically a one-man temple, doing everything, you know, deity worship and everything. So sometimes there's this story that he approached Srila Prabhupada to give him a garland, and he had grease all over him from fixing the cars. And he apologized to Srila Prabhupada for his greasy clothes. And Prabhupada said, "There's absolutely no offense. You may be dirty, your clothes may be dirty, but your heart is pure." It's interesting. You know, Prabhupada very much appreciated his mood of working very hard for Krishna. I mean, sometimes Jayananda was asked, you know, "Do you ever think about advancing in devotional service?" A devotee asked him, this is an interesting story, "How can I advance in Krishna consciousness?" Jayananda shrugged and said, "I don't know. I'm too busy working for Krishna." It's really interesting. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be interested in advancing in devotional service. This is Jayananda's mood. And whenever Srila Prabhupada would come to San Francisco, wherever Jayananda was, Prabhupada would ask for Jayananda. But Jayananda would rarely get time to see Srila Prabhupada because he was so busy working. Jayananda, of course, was very, very humble. He exhibited the topmost aspect of humility. There's one famous story was that when he was fixing the cars, he was fixing the cars like at 11 or 12 o'clock at night, the Sankirtan vehicles, so they could go out in Sankirtan the next day. And then two hippies came and they talked to him, and he preached to them and they convinced them to become devotees in the middle of the night while he was, all they could see was his feet sticking out from underneath the car. Another famous story about his humility is that one time a person came to the temple and he asked for some service, and then he was sent with Jayananda to take the trash. And while he was taking the trash and helping Jayananda with the trash, Jayananda was preaching to him. And this person remarked, he became a devotee, of course, he remarked, "Boy, if you're garbage men are like this, what to speak of your actual devotees in the temple?" Of course, he was the greatest devotee in the temple. And I remember, too, coming to the temple and just seeing Jayananda's feet sticking out from underneath the car. And let's go back to San Diego. I didn't tell that whole story. There was this Lord Chaitanya Festival in 1974, which Mother Krishna Priya attended. And we had to cook for the festival. So I thought, you know, I'll go in the kitchen and cook with Jayananda. And of course, he was famous for his cooking, for getting the boga. He would get boga donated for nothing. He would have one famous person he knew was this banana king, Louis the Banana King or something like that. And he would get truckloads of bananas donated. And of course they couldn't pronounce his name Jayananda. They would call Johnny Ananda, they would call him. And so we were cooking halva or something. Of course his favorite preparation was peanut butter halva. And not only could he cook, but he also ate a tremendous amount. And he would digest like this, an incredible amount of food. But he would also work. Prabhupada said, if you could work like an elephant, you could eat like an elephant. But if you can work like an ant, you should eat like an ant. According to you. So he would obviously digest everything. He never got sick from eating prasadam. So we were cooking together about 7:30 at night, and I was starting to get a little dizzy, a little woozy, and you know, I said, I don't know if I can stay up any longer. And we had this whole big feast to prepare. And I told Jayananda, you know, I can't stay up any longer. I mean, it's too much for me. He said, okay, you go to sleep. So I went to sleep, and when I woke up at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, he was still in the kitchen cooking. So it was quite embarrassing for me because I thought that I was such a great brahmacharya at that time. And I discovered I wasn't. So Jayananda, of course, started the Rath Yatras. And the first Rath Yatra was in San Francisco. The Jagannath deities were discovered by Malati. Malati actually went into this import store and she found in a big barrel these little tiny Jagannath deities, and she got a discount. It's called the five-finger discount. Won't describe what that means. And so she brought one to Prabhupada and said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, what is this? And Prabhupada offered his obeisances and said, Lord Jagannath has come to America. And said, are there any other one figures like this, similar but a little bit different? She said, yes. And some Harala devotees went and they practically bought the whole barrel full of little Jagannath deities. And the devotees started to worship Jagannath in sort of like a cult type fashion. They would wear him around their necks. They would even put a screw into his head. You know, like a little eyelet with a screw. And so they could hang him from a chain around their heads. And sometimes they had little pouches. Which they were. One devotee, even recently, who recently took sannyas, his name is Mukundal, he would carry like a Jagannath altar around his neck. Has anyone seen him do that? No, no one's seen it. It was quite humorous. You know, he would just come into the temple like that. I don't know how he offered obeisances with Jagannath on his lap, which I, and he would carry him around his neck. And so there was this whole like Jagannath cult mentality that was developed at that particular time. So Prabhupada instructed the devotees to have a Rath Yatra. Of course, the devotees didn't understand that Jagannath only comes out during Rath Yatra. So once in a while, they would take just Lord Jagannath and put him in the middle of Hippie Hill, you know, on the ground, and dance around him. Can you imagine that? Taking the deity out of the temple and putting him right on the ground and having him out for Harinam. You're not really supposed to do that. Jagannath is only supposed to come out during the Rath Yatra ceremony. Of course, if you have Utsava Murtis of other deities, like Radha and Krishna or Gaura Nithai, they can come out. Utsava means like the small festival of Murtis. So many times I've been in New York where they would take little Radha Govinda out into Central Park. And they'd have artis, kirtans, and prasadam distribution. It's quite an amazing sight. So the whole public, and Central Park, of course, is the main park in New York City, and thousands, if not millions, of people go there on Saturdays and Sundays for recreation during the warm weather. And they would just set up an altar there, you know, a table, and do arti for Radha Govinda, and people would be watching the arti, and then they pass out all the prasadam to people. It was an amazing experience seeing that in the early days of the movement. So Jayananda dedicated himself to fulfilling the desire of Prabhupada to start this Rath Yatra in San Francisco. Now, the first Rath Yatra was a flatbed truck. It wasn't actually a cart like a, and so we decorated this flatbed truck. It was a rented truck, I guess, U-Haul or something like that. And this is the first Rath Yatra that ever took place outside of India. And so in order to construct the Rath Yatra and even carry out the festival, he was baking pies and giving it out to the city police and the U.S. Park Service. And he would actually live with the chariots while they were being built. And he would get very, very, very little sleep. He was so stingy as far as spending Krishna's money that either he got things donated or he got a very big discount for whatever he was buying. And when he himself was traveling, because he was selling incense to it in later days to make money for the Krishna Conscious Movement for Rath Yatra, he wouldn't stay in a hotel. He would actually sleep on a park bench at night. And of course, in the early days of the movement, many of us did that when we went on traveling Sankirtan. I remember traveling with Sridhananda Maharaj in a Volkswagen Bug, he and I, and we certainly never stayed in a hotel at night. We would sleep in the Volkswagen Bug. He got the back and I got the front with a gear shift mod. And we'd take a shower with a plastic milk bucket that was filled with water in the morning. And we would go on serving Krishna. We didn't get sick at all from doing that. Similarly, in the early days of New Goloka, Mother Tulsi would sleep in her car. And without a heater or anything like that in the middle of the winter, right? Remember that? It was pretty ecstatic. And she'd go out and Sankirtan. She didn't even have money for boots, so she would put plastic bags on her shoes, because it was real muddy here at that particular time. And so the shoes wouldn't get muddy. And sometimes when we were going to different places, you could tell where we were going, just we'd bring mud with us. There was so much mud. After we cleared the property, it was like almost quicksand here with the mud. We would be up to our knees. This is before everything became refined here. So, thanks to Jayananda's mercy, thousands and millions of people were able to see Lord Jagannath. And Srila Prabhupada often expressed his deep gratitude for Jayananda's unmotivated, undeterred devotional service. Even so much so that when the Rath Yatra was being planned in New York in 1976, that was the first big New York Rath Yatra, Jayananda was working on it even after he discovered that he had these painful lumps in his body. Actually, a godbrother said, this might be cancer, but Jayananda made him promise not to tell anybody. So he just ignored it while he was working on the festival, because his main concern was that the festival would go up. And of course, later on, these lumps were diagnosed, and it turned out that he had leukemia, which gradually reduced his body to a shell. And even when he had to go for medical treatment, he was in the hospital, and he was preaching to the doctors and nurses and patients about Krishna consciousness. Even he was given like $5,000 for his medical treatment, and he gave that to help pay for Rath Yatra instead of spending it for his medical treatment. Even in the beginning days, before he got sick, when he first started Krishna consciousness, he had $5,000 life savings, and he gave it to Srila Prabhupada to print his books. It's amazing, his surrender. So, Jayananda passed from this world on May 1st, 1977. Of course, that was the same year that His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada passed from this world. It's quite interesting. We can relate this to the pastime of Haridas Thakur passing from this world. That Haridas Thakur had a request that he gave to Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And Haridas Thakur said, I don't want to see your disappearance pastimes. In other words, Haridas Thakur indicated that he wanted to go before Lord Chaitanya went or left this world, because he could not bear to live in this world without Lord Chaitanya being present. So Jayananda Prabhu had so much devotion for Srila Prabhupada that he could not bear to live in this world without Srila Prabhupada being present. And actually, in the fourth canto, part four, there's some indication of this mood that a disciple has in relationship with the spiritual master. In the fourth canto, part four, Prabhupada says, when the guru leaves the planet, the disciple should be ready to leave with the guru, just like one in the traditional system, the chaste wife would leave with the husband when the husband left, unless the chaste wife had children to take care of. As in the case of Kunti Devi, she had children to take care of. Of course, Madhuri, the other wife of Pandu, left this world jumping into the fire. This is called the Sati Rite. Of course, the Sati Rite nowadays is prohibited in India because it was misused in that a lady was forced to enter into the fire because her in-laws didn't want to maintain her after their son was gone. So, but that's how much devotion. So anyway, in relationship with the Guru, Prabhupada said, one should be ready to leave this world when the spiritual master passes away if he's not able to serve the mission of the Guru. If he could serve the mission of the Guru, which is known as Vani Seva, then he can remain in this world. And of course, I was thinking about that when Srila Prabhupada left this world in 1977. I thought that now is the time for me to take sannyas, is to dedicate myself fully to Prabhupada's mission without any other interests, any other possibilities, because this is my duty, Srila Prabhupada having left the planet. So so Jayananda, he wanted to leave the planet before Srila Prabhupada. So his, in one sense, you can say that his cancer, his leukemia, was a manifestation of his ecstatic love for Prabhupada. It's nothing material. When the devotee gets a disease, if he's actually a pure devotee like Jayananda, I'm not saying whenever any devotee gets a disease, it's a manifestation of ecstasy. You know, it's not that someone should go around and say, you know, I have a cold, it's a manifestation of my ecstasy. Every time I sneeze, it's a Vyabhachari Baba, you know. I chew, you know, everybody knows when I sneeze, I sneeze very loudly. So they can't think, oh, it's Gurudev's exhibiting his ecstasy in loving Krishna. No, it's not like that. But when a devotee like Jayananda, you know, someone on the level of Jayananda, leaves this world, it's an indication of something spiritual. It's not something simply mundane. Just like Srila Prabhupada commented when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world, he left because he was disgusted with his disciples. So, you know, he left out of disappointment with the way his disciples were conducting the mission, that they were fighting with each other instead of cooperating, and that was shown after he left. The devotees broke up into different camps, and they're still fighting. I think some court cases are still going on today, you know, after, like, you know, God knows, 60, 70, 80 years after he left. So Jayananda's leukemia, in one sense, we can say, was actually a manifestation of his desire to leave before Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada wrote a very wonderful letter. And I have a copy of it here. Of course, Prabhupada, after Jayananda left, Prabhupada ordained that the disappearance of Jayananda be celebrated like those of other Vaishnavas, Acharyas. And I think on these papers I have Prabhupada's letter. Prabhupada wrote a posthumous, that means after Jayananda passed away, letter to Jayananda. And that's pretty amazing, the spiritual master writing a letter to a disciple after the disciple left the planet. And this was written on the 5th of May, which is 4 days after Jayananda passed away in 1977. And I'll read the letter. My dear Jayananda, please accept my blessings. I am feeling very intensely your separation. Now that also indicates, you know, the close connection between Prabhupada and his disciple Jayananda. In 1967, you joined me in San Francisco. You were driving my car and chanting Hare Krishna. You were the first man to give me some contribution, $5,000, for printing my Bhagavad Gita. After that, you have rendered very favorable service to Krishna in different ways. I so hope at the time of your death you were remembering Krishna, and as such, you've been promoted to the eternal association of Krishna. If not, if you had any tinge of material desire, you've gone to the celestial kingdom to live with the demigods for many thousands of years and enjoy the most opulent life of material existence. From there, you can promote yourself to the spiritual world. But even if one fails to promote himself to the spiritual world, at that time, he comes down again on the surface of this globe and takes birth in a big family like a yogi's or a brahmana's or an aristocratic family, where there is again a chance of reviving Krishna consciousness. But as you were hearing Krishna Kirtan, because he left this world at the time of beginning of Mangalarti, I was in Los Angeles at that time, and that's where he was. Also, it indicates that if you are hearing Krishna Kirtan, then you're in a holy place. I mean, you don't need to run to leave your body to Vrindavan, because wherever Krishna Kirtan is going on, being chanted by devotees, that is a holy place. In fact, it is here in the Jiva Dharma that that the chanting of the holy names, of Krishna's names, should not be even compared to visiting holy places, because the holy places manifest automatically in one chants. I'm sure that you were directly promoted to Krishna Loka, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, Yoveti Yoveti Tatvataha Chatva Deham Purna Janma Naiti Mameti Sojuna. Krishna has done a great favor to you not to continue your diseased body and has given you a suitable place for your service. Thank you very much, your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So here's another statement by Prabhupada. Jayananda's death is glorious. It is very good that he has stated, what is the use of such a useless body? Better to give it up. And I'm not trying to encourage anyone here. Don't think like that. He has left his body. I mean, obviously he had an extreme case of leukemia. It's not that if one, you know, has some aches and pains that they should give up their body. Prabhupada really didn't want people voluntarily giving up their bodies. I mean, there's that whole story. I don't think I'll tell that story anyway. Anyway, I'll tell it. There's a story with Vishnu John Maharaj. And Vishnu John Maharaj had a little spiritual problem. And he heard Prabhupada talking about the story of Junior Haridas, how Junior Haridas left his body because he had done something inappropriate. So, as soon as he heard the story, he left Prabhupada's association, or left where Prabhupada was, and went to the Triveni and drowned himself in the Triveni. So, Prabhupada was not happy about that. In fact, even after he left, when Prabhupada was talking about this, Prabhupada was asked by a devotee, should we do that if there is some like difficulty? And Prabhupada said, no, we should continue serving. So Prabhupada was very clear about that point. So he has left his body very wonderfully, and he has been transferred to Vaikuntha. I have already sent a condolence letter for publication in Bhaktivedanta. Everyone should follow the example of Jayananda. I am very proud that I had such a nice disciple. If possible, Jayananda's picture should be hung on the Rath of Lord Jagannath, and in all of our temples, a day may be set aside for holding a festival in his honor, just as we do on the disappearance day of other great Vaishnavas. That's a letter to Ramaswar from New Delhi, 11th of May, 1977. Prabhupada was in Rishikesh, technically, at the time. Just one other point about Jayananda. He had great faith in all the different processes of devotional service, especially in prasadam. There's a story here that even if he spilled a little prasadam on the floor, he would lick it up. You know, he didn't want to waste one speck of prasadam. So he had great faith in all the processes of devotional service. You know, prasadam, the holy name, serving the Vaishnavas, festivals, everything. He just was very attached to and having great faith. And of course, that faith is described, Yasya Devi Parah Bhaktir Yata Devi Tatakuru Tashayate Katitad Yarta Prakashante Mahatmana. If one has faith in all these things and in the spiritual master, then everything gets revealed to one automatically. So faith is actually the key. Another quality of his is humility. And it's described here that if anyone wanted to be with Jayananda, they had to be careful not to praise him. If they praised him, he would just leave the situation. On the other hand, he never, never, never criticized any Vaishnava. You know, if you had anything negative to say about any Vaishnava and you went to him, he would certainly just praise that Vaishnava. He saw everyone as his superior. He's always striving to be das anudas, the servant of a servant. And even the non-devotees, as described about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Dhirad, Adhira, Janav, Priyod, Priyakaro, Nirmatsaro, Pujito, that the Goswamis of Vrindavan were actually dear to the ruffians and the devotees alike. So Jayananda, too, is an interesting story about Jayananda, who was dealing with a member of the San Francisco board to get permission for Rath Yatra. And there was one lady who was always causing trouble for the devotees when they went to her for permission. So one year when the devotees approached her, she asked, where is Jayananda? And when she heard that he had passed away, this lady who was very, very cynical and opposed to Krishna consciousness, she broke down and began to cry. And tears actually poured from her eyes. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, that's a sign of a great Vaishnava, you know, that even if someone is not a Vaishnava, they just appreciate the person so much that they feel separation from them. And many people experience that with Jayananda. When he was working on the Rath Yatra card, he was able to engage anybody who was around. I mean, there's that story, one time they were loading a refrigerator, some a big, heavy refrigerator, and there were two drunks lying there, you know, practically in their own vomit on the road. And Jayananda said, no, he was able to engage them in helping, because, you know, they just got up and they're drunk and stupid, and helped Jayananda do that. So he was able to engage people. He didn't discriminate who was worthy, who was not a fit recipient of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And he was working so hard that he would actually sleep during Bhagavatam class. But later on it's described that he actually could quote from the class. All right, so these are some of the stories about Jayananda. We have about 1 minute left for class. Any questions or comments about Jayananda and how it applies to us? I mean, it's an inspiration how we should understand ourselves to be servants of the servants of the servants of the Lord, not be attached to our particular position or our education or wealth or prestige or whatever other material assets we may have. Just humbly serve. Do whatever is necessary. It means fixing the cars or giving class. I mean, that's how this temple started. That in the beginning, because we didn't have any money, so, you know, the devotees had to do everything. You know, because I don't want to say anything about myself, but, you know, I was fixing cars. And toilets. You know, one time the toilet didn't work and we had to just take it outside because someone had thrown their toothbrush in it. So, and that's, if we're willing to do that, then we can accomplish miracles. But if we become so attached to our position that we have to hire a professional to brush our teeth for us or tie our shoelaces, Krishna will never appreciate that life of humility. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Jayananda Prabhu ki jaya.